NAFQ Growth Conference outside in the sunny Southern California weather with Brian
Finally, yes. Some good weather.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's never like this in San Diego, believe me.
Yeah, last time I was here was snowing and miserable.
It's awful here. Don't come here. Don't come to San Diego. It's awful. Anywho, you just got through giving a great presentation on millennials. And just for those who aren't here, can you give a quick summary of what you talked about?
Yeah, more or less that millennials represent a remarkably important market segment, but we have a bad habit of creating a stigma around them or simply viewing them as one giant market segment. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Ron Shevlin said the other day that it kind of dawned on me as being remarkably on target was the millennial segment's really three segments when you think about it. You got younger millennials, and you got that middle-aged millennial, and then you've got the older millennial that might be an entrepreneur in their 30s.
Right.
They have remarkably different needs. If we talk at millennials as kind of one demographic, we're not providing a solution for them that is truly in sync with what they want, and we're hitting them at a whole different time of their life. So the relevance of the message, you know, I wonder about. Sometimes I think when we talk about millennials, it's marketing speak.
Right.
You know, I'm a boomer. When I started in the banking industry, it was all about me, the boomer. How do we attract more boomers and yuppies? Mm-hmm. There's always a generation before us that are attractive. Mm-hmm. They always have remarkable optimism. And, you know, I don't think that just simply following the advice of a blogger that millennials are everything is really a good approach. I think it's better of understanding the needs of individuals at different phases and stages in their lives. And that's what this represents to me. So today it was kind of a little myth busting. I wanted to kind of poke fun at some of the millennial speak that's out there.
Yeah.
And get financial institutions to think differently about the audiences they're serving.
Yeah, because you brought up the point about your dad, who you said he's 86 or
80? He's now Mr. B, 89-year-old millennial. My dad's the world's oldest millennial. He's 89 years old. He's got the traits of a millennial except for the age and the physique, although he looks damn good for his age. You know, now he's 89 years old. He's socially enabled, digitally powered. Mm-hmm. All his stuff through Vanguard and through Union First Market Bank and his credit union, all done using digital tools.
Right.
Yet at the same time, he likes to go into the branch on occasion, socialize, meet with the people, handle some of the more private matters one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this OnStar mentality, too, that I really am a big believer in. You know, one of the things that we have going for us in the credit union banking space is when there's a problem, we always have someone we can talk to.
Right.
Now, sometimes because of the way we're moving so fast into millennial and digital, we're forgetting that we have human capital that we truly need to leverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting that digital capital and that human capital to kind of collide, the physical and virtual environment to collide.
Right.
People like my dad, again, 89 years old, that's what he's looking for. And millennials are looking for that more and more. The branch is not completely dead.
Right.
See, it's got to be retooled. Maybe there's too much money going on it, you know, in it compared to the the digital space and digital banking, but people like knowing that they have options.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative delivery is really my delivery or your delivery. It's whatever you deem appropriate at a given time. And you know, the neobanks, they don't have that advantage. We have infrastructure and human capital in place that we need to retool, repurpose, and leverage, but built it around real purpose and the need of the consumer.
Yeah, you brought up the neobanks, the virtual banks like Simple and Movin. Should credit unions be kind of like looking to that as an example of maybe adopt some of the things that they're doing?
I think it goes both ways. I think some of the neobanks could look at the financial services industry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that there's a place in between that we need to be. I don't think we need to be 100% digital. I don't know if the neobank can completely compete against the traditional financial institution.
Right, right.
I think they can unbundle banking and they can take bits and pieces of it, and it will have a profound effect on the banking industry. So banks can look at, you know, the neobanks and how they're behaving and engaged in leveraging data.
Right.
Lots to be learned there, and there's some very strong brands out there, be it Simple and Movin. They're doing the right things. But when it comes to the human part of it, and the fact that we've got distribution in the financial services industry, I think we have opportunity we're not leveraging. You know, we can't cower behind the chain that's occurring out there, this consumer revolution. We need to embrace it. So let's look to the neobanks for inspiration, but let's also look at our legacy and our history. You know, we've got branch networks we can retool, we have distribution we can retool, we have new digital we're bringing to the table, and we have that human capital that honestly we're not leveraging enough.
Yeah.
If we leverage that, we will be a force to be reckoned
with. You brought up something really, let's switch gears a little bit here, you brought up something in there that was really kind of funny, but yet true at the same time. Banking sucks.
Banking sucks. It's a chore. I mean,
it's not
who
sexy.
Wants to do it? You
exactly.
know, it's like, I can't wait to go home. I'm doing this interview better be over soon. I got to pay some bills. You know, I'm going to whip out my mobile app, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, we can try to bring gamification into it, make it a little less painful
yeah,
and
yeah.
conceivably maybe fun. But I personally, I don't think banking will ever be viewed as fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, banking's a chore fraught with friction. Again, the neobanks have figured out a way to remove that friction.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't made it fun,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think it ever will be.
Yeah.
I think the real opportunity is not a matter of whether we're transactional or, you know, building tools that make it easier. I mean, those are all important. Ultimately, it's the position of advocacy. We know that consumers have goals and financial obligations, objectives, and all these milestones that they
mm-hmm.
go through, these life-infused financial
yep.
experiences. How can we, as credit union folks, as bankers, or the neobankers, find a way to, you know, align ourselves more with the need of the consumer
mm-hmm.
so that we're there when they need us,
mm-hmm.
or even before they need us. So
mm-hmm.
we begin to culturalize the consumer to think, okay, my financial institution is truly looking after my best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that today.
Yeah. You talked about Uberization of the banking industry. Are we experiencing that right now?
I think there's some. I mean, you know, banking is a commodity as a whole, and you know, taxi companies are commodities as a whole, and Uber basically said there's a better way of doing
right.
it through distribution and technology, and Uber's got their own issues.
Yeah.
The analogy of Uber and Netflix and Apple to banking, they're not the same in my mind, because
mm-hmm.
banking's not as sexy. But mm-hmm. then again, how sexy is a taxi cab?
Yeah,
it's about convenience, you know, and accessibility and on-demand and cost, a lower cost of distribution that's passed down to the consumer.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, you read some bad things about these brands as well, and you know, remarkably technology dependent. You know, if that app fails,
yeah, exactly.
What happens?
You know,
there's got to be a plan B, maybe.
Exactly.
The analogies to Netflix, you know, Netflix is about entertainment. Apple's about sexy hardware and software and
mm-hmm.
operating system.
Mm-hmm.
I think we overemphasize the comparisons between banking and those. I think banking ought to be about changing banking built around lifestyle, human need. It shouldn't be just, you know, look at them, they're doing something,
mm-hmm.
we ought to do it too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's narrow thinking.
Wrap-up question here. I'm going to tie it up in a nice little bow here. You brought up at the very beginning about millennials and their optimism, and credit union should capture that optimism.
Yeah.
And about the greater meaning here.
Yeah, and it's not just about millennials. I mean, it's, you know, every generation before us, before
mm-hmm.
you and me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a boomer, you know, Gen X, I guess, or Gen...
I'm a boomer Gen X.
Yeah, okay. So you're...
Fine line there.
Yeah, younger than I am, we'll say that, okay? And more dapper, no doubt. The bottom line, though, is that, you know, the generation before us always has remarkable optimism. The fundamental changes are not really there. I mean, I don't think today's millennial, yeah, they're more digital.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and in many ways, they're not even as optimistic as some of the older generations
right.
before
right.
because of changes in our economy.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to recognize as brands that we need to associate with younger generations and share their optimism
mm-hmm.
and show their, you know, that there's an opportunity. Be an advocate by being the guiding light or the shining light for
yeah.
them. And the industry doesn't do that enough. I always use the reference to the hippies. You know, the hippies were all about changing the world.
Right.
Those hippies, you know, were boomers, all right? And as my daughter told me, a lot of hippies turned out to be Republicans.
Yes,
so change does not always occur as we plan it to,
right.
but certainly at that younger age, no matter what generation you were part of, you had remarkable optimism.
Mm-hmm.
We need to tap that.
Capture it.
Yep.
Nice message to end on. Brian,
hey,
thank you very
good
much,
seeing
sir.
You.
Well
love,
done up there.
Love your city.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's all right.